yet. And let's start here. Ohio State superstar quarterback Justin Fields has started a petition requesting the Big Ten immediately reinstate the 2020 football season. The petition has more than 223,000 signatures. Fields tweeted Sunday that this cause is close to my heart and urged people to sign the petition. The campaign said it is asking the Big Ten to allow its players and teams to make their own choices as to whether they wish to play or opt out of the fall season. John, what's the impact of this petition? Is there a chance that the Big Ten reverses course in any way?
No, you can't let college kids dictate what the position of the conference is. The conference is talking to medical. Of course the kids want to play. If you look at any video of, any beach that's open in any of these schools, you'll see all these kids running around without masks. You can't let them decide. I think it'll have zero impact. How about you?
I think it will have zero impact. I think it's idiotic for kids to be back on campus at universities. I think it's idiotic, the SEC and the ACC trying to play games. I mean, just came out today, University of North Carolina moves all classes online, 130 more students infected. That's in addition to the 500 students that were already infected. What is going on? Why can't we just follow common sense? No, you can't play football. And no, I don't think kids should be on campus at universities. Are they on campus at UCLA or USC?
Negative. They both have gone online.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that's necessary. And Justin Fields, hey, I understand you want to play, but safety concerns trump all.
Okay, Mace, here is my Big Ten football question.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's our focus on the Big Ten.
You mentioned the Justin Fields petition. The kids obviously want to play. But here's something I didn't see coming. A large group of parents of Iowa football players are upset that college football has been canceled. The parents, 181 of them, have now penned a letter to Big Ten Commissioner asking for answers as to why the decision was made to cancel the season. The letter not only asks questions but explains that these student-athletes understand the risk of playing not only during the pandemic but during normal circumstances. The parents point out that the players take a lot of risks before the pandemic about paralysis, concussion, CTE,
sure,
other brain disorders. Then they wrote this, quote, "Yet the individuals accepting those risks, our sons, were never consulted, heard from, or even considered in the Big Ten's decision to cancel the season. No medical findings or opinions of experts have ever been shared." Now, I know a lot of parents who won't let their kids play football at all, even before the pandemic.
Right.
Are you surprised that so many parents in Iowa think the opposite way?
No, I'm not. I mean, I think, you know, unfortunately, this has become a gigantic political issue. And some people believe COVID is a crisis, and some people believe it's something that can be just sloughed off. I don't know what percentage of parents are actually involved in this in terms of Iowa football players. But again, I will say, I mean, don't you think it's just foolhardy, the idea of playing college football right now?
I would not play, but I'm beginning to see that a lot of people want to play. A lot of people are willing to take the risk. But I would say in a pandemic, just because you're willing to get the virus doesn't mean I'm willing to let you spread it.
Correct.
I think that
good point.
If I'm a school president or a state governor, I don't care that you are willing to take the risk. I care that people who don't want to take the risk could be affected. So that's part of the basis of my decision. So I'm actually surprised that parents are trying to get their kids to play.
Yeah, I am too.
But we had a guy on the show, Mace, you were off last week, but we had a guy call the show one day, a guy from San Diego, whose son is a Pac-12 athlete, and he argued passionately, and he sounded like a pretty smart guy, that they should play. And his point was that if his son or the other kids got it, they're young, they're healthy, and it wouldn't kill them. And that was his whole argument.
Yeah, so I think the big concern is that they can spread it. Yep. That's the big problem.
Yep.
Agreed. All right. While the Cleveland Indians were in Chicago, both Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac went out on the town. During a testing meeting Friday, Indians players scolded them for breaking protocol and going out in Chicago, and at least one player said he would opt out of the season if the two remained on the active roster. Now, Clevinger, Plesac, two-fifths of the Indians' rotation that has got a Major League best 2.43 ERA, they were optioned to Cleveland's alternate site for at least 10 days. Not only did they go out when they go out in Chicago, then they lied about it before getting on the team plane. Indians teammates furious over the situation. Does this show that MLB players are starting to police themselves?
A little bit, yeah. And the fact that the other players and even the manager, Terry Francona, have hammered Clevinger and Plesac for what they did is actually a good sign, because then I think that we may get some uniformity on this. It just seems to me, was it Plesac or Clevinger that did the video that was just blatantly...
Plesac.
Yeah, blatantly clear.
Worst idea ever.
Yeah, he doesn't get it. You know, like you can tell some people here don't get it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. So until those guys do get it, that they're putting... Again, these two questions that we're talking about today so far are related, the college football and the baseball thing. Until you understand that it's not all about you, it's about the fact that you could give it to other people.
Yep.
If you're not understanding that base point, then I think, you know, we have to make you get it. And I think that's what the Indians did in sending these guys down. They're trying to make them understand it.
Yeah, and I think players have done a much better job since the outbreak in Miami and the outbreak in St. Louis. It has been all quiet on the COVID front for Major League Baseball for a little over a week. And maybe it is those two situations that have...
No, it hasn't.
What's that?
The Reds had some COVID issues and had to cancel or postpone.
Did they cancel?
They had one, Lindsay, I think they had one guy. They had one positive test.
Yeah, I mean, I think baseball's done a pretty good job since those outbreaks. But I think it's helpful that players, like, don't you think somebody from the team told on
snitched.
Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac?
Yeah, well, no,
they had a security guy that snitched them out.
Well, or they had, I think they had video from the hotel of them going out. So, I mean, they were dumb. They didn't even try and hide it.
Yeah, I hope players are getting much more serious about this so that we can get to a potential playoff season in Major League Baseball.
All right. I've been waiting to ask you this one. I held this one until you got back from vacation.
Good.
I'm fascinated by it. So far, okay, so Jose Altuve, is the second baseman for the Astros, is a career 312 hitter, a former National League MVP, and a six-time All-Star. So far this season, Altuve is hitting .183 with record statistical lows in every offensive category. Mace, he has a negative WAR number, which means you could take any average Major League player, just of anybody off of any roster, and he would be better than Altuve has been this season. Now, I think there are three possible explanations for this. One, he's just in a huge slump, which happens. Two, he's so overwhelmed by the cheating scandal that he can't focus, that he can't get his head straight. Or three, and this is the most interesting, do you think it's possible Altuve has actually been cheating for his whole career, that he's always known what pitches have been coming, and now he can't hit because he doesn't have that advantage anymore? Is it one of my three reasons, or is it something else that all of a sudden Jose Altuve can't hit?
I'm going to go with just a slump.
You think it's one?
You know, okay. Here's the tough thing about this 60-game Major League Baseball season. If you start out in a hole, I think you tend to start pressing. Like, for example,
Bellinger.
You mentioned Altuve. Cody Bellinger has a negative WAR number right now. He's 17 of 91 with only six extra base hits and a 586 OPS. He's pressing. You can tell that he is pressing. So... yeah, I think that we're seeing some huge slumps around Major League Baseball amongst really, really good players who fell into a hole early and now are trying to do their best to dig out of it. So, yeah, I'm going to go slump. What do you think?
I tend to think you're right, but I'm fascinated that it could be that he's always known what's coming. I don't think it's possible. He's been in the league for 10 years. This is his 10th season.
Wow.
I don't think he was cheating 9 years ago and worked up. I think that he figured out how to cheat. I think he won the MVP cheating. I think he cheated that year.
No question.
Here's a related question. Is he done being an All-Star? Because part of that is player vote and part of that is fan vote. I don't think he gets either one moving forward. Do you?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously no All-Star game this year, no All-Star teams this year. But you're right. I think that there is going to be a backlash from fans and a backlash from players. So it'll be up to those managers. Like, for example, if the Astros, and they're behind the A's right now, but if they were to get to the World Series and Dusty Baker would wind up being the American League manager, he could obviously choose Astros. But I think it is the days of Astros being perennial All-Stars probably over for the cheating scandal.
Yeah, it's you.
Okay, it's me. Let's do this one. We tend to use Washington owner Daniel Snyder as a whipping boy. His refusal to get rid of the Redskins mascot, his mediocre record as owner, but he made a big leap today, naming Jason Wright as the franchise's new president and making him the first black team president in NFL history. If you take a look at the big picture, Latino head coach, African-American team president, getting rid of the Redskins nickname. Do you think Dan Snyder has officially seen the light?
I think he realizes the level of dislike that has been thrown upon him. You can add to the list that you gave. He hired a woman as his director of broadcasting, and she's actually going to work on the broadcast. So that's a first. No other team has a woman working on their broadcasts. So there's a whole bunch of things. You know, he's hired a woman to run broadcasting. He's hired a black guy to be team president, and he's hired a Hispanic guy to be the head coach. I think he understands that he needs to do kind of what Mark Cuban did and completely flip the culture. And I don't think he's going to sell. Like I told you when this broke and you said the other owners are going to force him out, I thought, no, they won't.
No, I said they should force him out.
Yeah, I think he now...
They'll always protect each other, yeah, but they, he I, now I think knows, they should force him
yeah,
out.
Yeah, he now knows that he danced too close to the fire, and yeah. I think that all hires moving forward are going to be representative of that. So I think it does represent that he's changing his ways.
All right, there you have the scoop for today. Hey, by the way, in addition to Lakers versus Portland tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tip, 4 o'clock pregame here on 710 ESPN, Dodgers are on a 5-game winning streak. They swept the Angels this weekend. Dodgers beat the Angels 8-3 yesterday. Homers for Seager, number 5, Muncy, number 5, Beatty, number 2. Kiebert Ruiz in his first major league at-bat homered. Dodgers have got the best record in the National League, home to Seattle tonight. Ross Stripling is on the mound for the Dodgers.
Strip day!
Strip day! Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, dug out an oldie for the music library. So whatever happened, by the way, to ESPN Los Angeles 710 Sports? Is that dead?
Well, maybe Funch took it with him. I don't know.
Did that die in the transition? Because I love that jingle. I love that jingle. All right, so it's Mason's Mazda giveaway. OC Mazda and
yeah!
Mason in Ireland giving
free
away a 2021
car.
Mazda CX-30. Here's how you win. If you've played our Fifth Row Fridays game, you know how this works. Something we say today, and we haven't said it yet, something we say today will be on a pop quiz Friday at 3:15. Something from every day this week. The listener who answers all 5 questions correctly will win a $100 gas card plus qualify to win a 2021 Mazda CX-30. There will only be 4 qualifiers. Each qualifier gets a key, and one of those 4 keys will start the car. So again, pay attention to everything we say every day this week for a chance to win one of those keys with a 1-in-4 shot to start a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30.
Yeah, and a 1 in 4 chance is ridiculous. Like, normally, it's like a 1 in 30 chance.
Yeah, everybody gets a key. Nope, 4 keys. That's all it takes, a 25% chance. So make sure you listen to everything here. By the way, one guy who is not concerned about Lakers-Blazers is Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff Van Gundy was on the brand-new Greeny show a little bit earlier today talking about Portland and the Lakers.
Right now, their choices are Carmelo, who is basically a 4-man, and Zach Collins, who's a 5-man. Gary Trent is, a little light. The two guards are smaller. So I know it's in vogue to say that they're going to present a lot of danger, and I think Portland's players are good, but I think there's a bigger chance that Portland gets swept than they win the series.
There you go. Bigger chance they get swept than that they win the series.
I don't think either. I don't think that this series is a sweep. I don't think
either team
sweeps the other. But I agree with Jeff. I'm very, very confident in the Lakers. And Mace said, and by the way, we'll reopen the phones because I think we only got to one call earlier.
Yeah.
877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. If you want to talk about the playoffs, Lakers starting tomorrow. We have the game for you here. Pre-game at 4, tip-off at 6. Game 1, Lakers-Blazers. The Clippers, by the way, start tonight. The Clippers open their playoffs against Dallas tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN-TV. Mace, the second round series is interesting to me, who the winner of Lakers-Blazers will play.
Yeah.
I think the Rockets win that, but
no Westbrook.
No Westbrook, for at least for the game one. And I thought Windhorst made an excellent point. Chris Paul's, I know Chris Paul, people don't like him because he tends to be an irritant. And, I know other
players, he's had a fantastic year.
Unbelievable. And he was praying for this. Houston basically gave up on him and traded him to Siberia.
Yep.
And remember, Oklahoma City was picked by most basketball experts to finish 30th this year. They were in a complete rebuild. They traded Westbrook and Paul George for a bunch of draft picks. They have all their own picks and then 8 other number one picks over the next 7 years.
Yep.
Because this team was supposed to be a rebuild. And all of a sudden, Chris Paul put the team on his back. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander arrived early. Danilo Gallinari can really play. Steven Adams is a great complement to Chris Paul. And here they are with a chance for Chris Paul to stick it to the team that basically screwed him. So it's a fascinating dynamic. Would you be shocked if Oklahoma City is waiting for the Lakers at the end of round one?
Nope, wouldn't be shocked at all. Wouldn't be shocked at all, especially without Westbrook. Would not be shocked.
And Harden has not shown another playoff level. Like, there's no such thing as playoff Harden. He's been unbelievable in the regular season. But in the postseason, in the one finals he was in, he was really bad. And in other series, it's just easy to take him out because you just put 3 guys on him and make somebody else beat you. If you do that in game one, who is that for the Rockets?
Right.
Can Austin Rivers beat you? Can Eric Gordon beat you? They don't have a center. They can't just throw the ball to the rim.
They just run P.J. Tucker out there. But right. Yeah, no, they don't have another clear scorer if you throw the world at James Harden there's no Russell Westbrook on the floor. There's no question about that. By the way, John, did you like the NBA play-in tournament
I think they should keep it.
Okay, here is Kevin Arnovitz. He was on the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst earlier today. Here he is on the play-in format for the final seeds in the NBA playoffs.
It's clear to me that the question is not, will the NBA ever implement a play-in tournament at some point? It is, why didn't they do it 15 years ago? When you consider just how compelling it was, all of a sudden we were caring about teams we shouldn't have cared about. I think what would help the NBA, and especially in the last month and a month and a half in the season, when it's usually the dog days of March and April, is we want tiering, right? We want races for various spots, the race for the top seed, the race to stay out of 7. So this is kind of 5, 6, 7, 8 teams jockeying. Then you have sort of the 9, 10, 11, 12. And if we can create this excitement where at different thresholds of the standings, there's really intense stuff going on because you're incentivized to win and not fall back. Or, you know, I think this, it's a really, really good idea that was well executed. And this was just one game. I think it's time to implement this.
Yeah, I agree with him. It was only one game. And I think they should be playing in for the 7 and the 8 seeds and turn it into a broader tournament. Because
okay, let me challenge you on that.
Okay.
Dallas had a way better record than any of the teams that would have been in the playoff tournament. Do you want to kneecap Dallas that much?
Yeah, they need to win a game.
Even though they had a much – I think the way they did it this year was actually pretty smart.
Yeah, but it didn't get broad. It didn't get open. It was just two teams.
Right, but, I mean, you have to compete to be one of the two teams.
You do, but I don't
think that what was their precursor? It was if you're within four, then
if you're within four,
like I think that's good. If I'm 10 games ahead of you, I shouldn't have to play in the play-in tournament. But if you get within four of me, I'll do that. I'll say okay, I wasn't able to pull away by more than four. Like I'll give you the layout.
Okay,
Dallas finished 7.5 games ahead of Memphis and Portland.
Yeah.
Okay. That should be enough to guarantee them a playoff spot. But if you're within four, I think, by the way, you could expand it, Mace. If you're within four, put 6, 7, 8, like anybody within four has to play in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
You know, but if the way it worked, that game, I don't know how much of a chance you get to watch that game on Saturday. Between
the Saturday game, yeah.
Portland and Memphis was great.
Well, I thought that the one
John Morant played out of his mind,
and so did Nurkic. And by the way, do you know that those stats don't count?
Yeah, you know what? You know how I know it? I have a computer program that. So I, like I said, I've got 9 pages of notes ready for the game tomorrow night.
Yep.
I have a computer program that automatically downloads the last game into my charts.
Yep.
And it said the last game was the last bubble game. And so I sent an email to the company and I said, hey, what are you doing here? He goes, that game doesn't count in the standings.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
I just printed the box, so I have it. But it's weird.
But I thought the telling thing about
what
would
have happened,
John,
if a guy would have scored like 85 points? It wouldn't have counted?
Wouldn't have counted. Yeah, I thought the interesting thing about that game and the telling thing about that game was the fact that Portland seemed to have a hold on it and allowed 42 points in the third quarter. And allowed him to creep back into the game. Portland's just not a good defensive team, and I think that's one of the things we're going to see in this series starting tomorrow night. The idea that they think, possibly, that Skinny Melo is going to somehow keep up with LeBron James is foolish. And we should mention, too, Zach Collins is now – is he out for the game or questionable for the game?
Lindsay, what did you say, out?
Yeah, I think he said he's out. That's what Mark Spears is reporting.
Okay,
Mark Spears reporting Zach Collins is out, and that was one of the big guys they were going to throw at Anthony Davis.
Right, so I think that'll be significant too. Again, I'm very confident in the Lakers. Let's go to the phones. 877-710-3776. Here's Alex in Anaheim. Hey, Alex, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Thank you guys for being back into the midday. This is amazing. I get to see you guys on my lunch again.
Woo. Cool. Thanks, man.
Got to give a growl at work. So it was all fun. Honestly, with the Lakers, I feel like Dame is really good enough to get you one, honestly. But the Lakers are just too overpowering. And like how you guys said, Zach Collins is not playing. So that's another defensive guy that he's really good, honestly. He's really an underrated defensive player, but just not enough to stop AD or LeBron. LeBron, they're going to have Gary Trent Jr. on him most likely, and Melo can't keep up. So I just feel like the Lakers are going to cruise into this one easily. I mean, Dame Dollar's going to get you one, but that's about it. Honestly, him and CJ will get you one.
Okay, there you have it. I think he's on Lakers in 5. If I'm hearing that right, Lakers in 5, which I think I'm now on Lakers in 5, especially no Collins, Lakers in 5. I think Anthony Davis is going to have a really big game tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I think game one, Brian Windhorst made this point earlier, game one will be telling. I think if you're Portland, you almost have to steal game one. But let's see. Let's see how it plays out. Let's see what, you know, because they could not in the Kobe Memorial game, which I kind of throw out because I have no idea how the Lakers even played that game. It was the first game after
right.
Kobe died. It was as emotional of a building as I've ever been in. And Dame went off. He scored 48 points. he could do that again, but I think that the Lakers offensively could still outscore Portland and win the game. I'm so excited to watch it. I'm so glad.
Me too. I'm just so excited.
Basketball's back. 7 years the Lakers have been in the playoffs.
Yeah. Hey, John, do you ever listen to the Big Swing podcast?
I did this week.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance. Have you had a chance to react to it?
No.
Oh, okay, good. So it's Ross Stripling's podcast, and Los Angeles folk hero Joe Kelly was on it this week, had some really interesting stuff to say about the Houston Astros. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
If they would say, hey, I was super scared, I didn't know what to do, I didn't want to be suspended from baseball, I don't want to lose money, I had a rep. Like, if you would say that and grow a pair of balls and say that to somebody, like me, if I was a snitch or bad, I'd be like, dude, I panicked, I didn't know what to say, hey, my bad, bro, like, I'm sorry, like, I'll go do an interview and da da da. So until that happens, I don't know if it has, because I don't talk to those guys, and I don't want to talk to those guys, and because they're not respectable men to me.
Ooh, the Astros are not respectable men to Joe Kelly. Los Angeles folk hero Joe Kelly, who helped us get a little bit more even with the Astros a couple of weeks back, and he's actually on the IL right now. He's still, his suspension has been cut from 8 games to 6 games, I think. Is what I heard last week during the break. But Joe Kelly appearing on the Big Swing podcast with Ross Stripling and venting real anger about what the Astros did. And one of the things that he says they did that he lost respect for them because is that they snitched to get immunity on their own.
The people that took the fall for what happened is nonsense. Yes, everyone's involved. But the way that thing was ran over there, it was ran with coaching staff. Yes, don't get me wrong. But they're not the head boss in charge of that thing. It's the players. So now the players get the immunity, and all they do is go snitch like a little bitch. They take the livelihood from people who worked hard to become a manager and axed. They take the livelihood from people who work hard to become a GM, axed. So what happened is you get people to snitch and become a rat, and the people who could afford to lose money get immunity. The people who afford could get their names tainted, get immunity.
Wow, snitches and rats. Snitches and rats.
Well, he makes an interesting point. The way Major League Baseball set it up, granting players all immunity, that was the only result in the end that they could have done if they wanted to punish somebody, because they couldn't punish the players. Now, where I disagree a little bit with Joe is, there were several stories about A.J. Hinch knowing about it, saying he didn't approve of it, and telling him to knock it off.
And but, Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran were both involved in that, too.
Right, and then they didn't. Cora and Beltran kept it going.
Yeah.
So you had a failure at the management level of cutting off, and so that's why I think those guys took the brunt of the hit. And so I think that the buck has to stop with somebody. In this case, they fired the owner. They fined the owner. They fired the GM. They fired the manager. Can you let those guys stay after you learn what you learned?
Well, you can't. I mean, I would contend that Rob Manfred could have conducted this study, this project, this research without the help of the players. I think he could have done it without the help of the players. I don't think he needed to grant immunity to the players.
Right. Well, he already had it from, who was the left-handed reliever that went to the Athletic? Mike Fiers.
Yeah, Mike Fiers, right.
He already had Mike Fiers on the record explaining what happened. And I think then if you dig deeper, you could probably have gotten another player to go on the record, and then you never have to grant the immunity.
Correct.
And the biggest mistake, and you and I have talked about it several times, and it came crystal clear listening to that Joe Kelly podcast. And that Ross, it was a unique situation because Kelly hasn't done any media.
Yep.
But Ross Stripling is a teammate. Matter of fact, Stripling's pitching today. And Ross has a podcast with some friend of his, another guy that's a broadcaster. And so they got Kelly to basically completely open up about everything. And when you hear, and we played those clips, when you hear how absolute the absolute disdain that Kelly has for the Astros, and you figure other players feel the same way, those Astros are tainted forever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think baseball did them any favors by granting them immunity. I think that, you know, sure, they get to continue their careers, but nobody respects them now.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think he said right there, they're not respectable people, is what Joe Kelly said.
Well, I would think that they now join this list of people, Mace, that we know played and we knew were good, but they're tainted, like Rafael Palmeiro.
Do you think it's that level?
I do.
You do?
Because they won the World Series. If they hadn't won the World Series, I think, you know, the penalty for guys like Barry Bonds and Rafael Palmeiro doing what they did is they're out of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
They'll never make the Hall of Fame. But to take the World Series in a year in which you cheated the game, regardless of what the fans think, the other players now, your life's never the same. Your career's never the same.
Yeah, and here's the thing that's interesting about it, John, is, you know, I'm just looking. So the Astros, they cut off this cheating in 2018, after the 2018 season. And I look at the numbers for the 2019 season, and they're still really good. Like, Altuve batted .298 with 31 homers and 74 RBIs. Yeah, Bregman, .296, 41 homers,
are
112.
Are you sure that they cut off the cheating? I mean, a lot of people think that's the year the Red Sox won the World Series, right? Or is that the year the Nationals?
No, 2018 was the World Series with the Red Sox. So 2017 was with the Dodgers, 2018.
Well, here's something I've learned from you.
Yeah.
From your days working the Olympics, the cheaters are always ahead of the cops.
Yeah, they are.
So they could have cheated in 2019.
Although it would be incredibly difficult, John, to set up the banging trash can situation
after
the investigation happened and after there was already a warning from Rob Manfred.
Wait a minute.
Remember, Rob Manfred gave everybody a warning at the start of 2018 after that weird situation with the Apple Watches in
That was like
London.
2016 with the Apple Watches. He gave everybody a warning, and the big cheating happened after that.
Are you sure? Was that far back?
Yeah, because remember we have Alex Cora when the Yankees played the Red Sox in that series in London? We got Alex Cora on the record at a press conference saying, you know what? We got to clean it up. They're figuring out what we're doing before we're going to do it, and we got to clean it up. He knew they were cheating because he cheated when he was in Houston.
So, yeah, it was before the 2017 season.
So the Buster says the biggest mistake Rob Manfred has made in this is that he didn't come down hard on the Apple Watch thing.
Yes, correct.
Had he come down hard on the Apple Watch thing, maybe we never get to the banging trash.
He could have sent a message. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Manfred's leadership on this thing has been weak.
Well, let me circle back to the reason we brought this up. The Joe Kelly, that podcast is that Big Swing podcast, is well worth listening to, because the other thing I took out of it, you argued that Joe Kelly shouldn't be suspended at all. I think
Correct.
The position is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
as I think yours is ridiculous.
Well, he had to be suspended for some games. He was suspended for 8. They narrowed it down to 5. But if you listen to Kelly, he tells you exactly what he did in his appeal.
Yep.
And his appeal makes 100% sense. I think he should have been, at the end of his appeal, instead of knocking it down to 5, I would have knocked it down to 2 or 3.
Wow.
I mean, I thought he was that convincing. He says, okay, so here's a list of what people have been suspended for before. Here's what I did. Here's the precedent. How are you getting to this point?
Yeah.
He's protecting the Astros, who none of the players want to protect. We don't respect them. And so I would encourage people to go listen to that, because I think it may change your opinion on Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly is a very popular guy in Los Angeles. The average Dodger fan got a great deal of satisfaction about that one inning where he nearly hit 3 guys.
Right.
Didn't hit him, just nearly hit him.
Right. And that's the heart of his argument, is like, okay, so I didn't hit anybody. I didn't come off the mound and go after them. They came after me.
Yep.
I didn't cuss at anybody. They cussed at me, and yet I got hit with the biggest suspension. He makes a lot of sense. After you hear him, you'll say, huh, 2 to 3 games would have been appropriate.
The best is that pouty face. Oh, the pouty face is like the best thing in the world.
Yeah, shouldn't have played into it at all. And apparently that got him more games.
that got him ramped up, exactly.
It's a face. Who cares?
All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz has got a bunch of stuff for us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It's time for Radio Tinder. This is where Linz brings us some stuff, some offbeat stuff, some out of left field stuff. And Jorge, who is our brand new board op, is going to be part of this today. Jorge, welcome to the show, by the way. Have we made a big enough deal about this new team member we have, John?
Sure, yeah. But I've worked with him before. You haven't?
I don't think I've ever worked with Jorge. Have we worked together, Jorge?
No, it was just filling in here and there. You on our show in the morning or me in the afternoon running board for you.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah. I hear you're really funny.
You know, so they say. I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right, cool. Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys. We're going to start off talking a little bit sneakers and Nike. Nike's Vaporfly shoes have been involved in nearly every major running victory and milestone since 2016. Research suggests that the Vaporfly soles give runners a 4% boost over shoes from competing brands, which is pretty crazy. Vaporflies are so advantageous that some runners sponsored by other brands have started wearing the shoes in secret, and they're blacking out the Nike logo with permanent markers, so like the Nike like the neon colors and the swoosh aren't visible anymore. This, of course, is causing issues with some athletes' sponsorship deals. So my question to you guys is, if Nike makes the best shoes, should other apparel companies take issue with their sponsored athletes wearing the Vaporflies? Swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, I would. If I was another shoe company, I swipe right. I would have a huge issue. If I'm paying, well, I'll just use NBA for an example. It like Kyle Kuzma, I think, has a deal with Puma.
Yeah.
If he decides that, and if I'm paying him, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to wear my brand, and I see him wearing Nikes in a game, I'm killing my deal. I would have a, I mean, if Nike makes better shoes and you want to switch to Nike, go ahead. But that were one of my big competitors. Mace, I used to work for Anheuser-Busch. And if you walked into a party and you were drinking a Coors or a Miller, you'd be fired on the spot. I would have a huge problem if I ran Puma or Reebok or one of the other companies and one of my athletes wore Nikes. Yeah, I'm cutting that guy loose.
I'm going to swipe right. Here's the thing, John. What we're talking about here is not just a shoe, but we're talking about a technological advancement. This shoe is winning every single race. So if you are in Adidas or Puma right now, you will not win. Nike, this new shoe is winning all of the races. So I understand why somebody would do it. And if you want to win, if you want to be on the medal stand wearing a Puma jacket or an Adidas jacket or whatever that is, I would let those guys wear the high-tech shoes that are winning all the races.
You would have no problem with if you ran Reebok, and you would have no problem with a guy wearing Nike in the race.
Here's the thing. I want my guy to win the race. That's the best thing
for
me. He's not going to win the race unless he wears those Nike shoes. So,
but wait a minute. Jorge, what do you think? You're trying to sell Reeboks. If he's wearing Nikes, you're doing the opposite.
I'm swiping left. I'm an Adidas guy myself. As a soccer player, all of my gear is Adidas. So anything Nike for sure is out the door for me, honestly.
But if you had magic shoes, which Nike has created, and you're just a better soccer player because of these shoes.
I'm
with George. I'm with Jorge.
Okay, you're not going to be on a medal stand anytime soon.
Yeah, but I'm going to collect that big payment from Adidas.
Yeah, well, for the record, I'm on your side, Mace.
All right,
next one here. The world's largest movie theater chain will reopen more than 100 U.S. theaters on August 20th. In order to commemorate its centennial, AMC is going to offer movies in 2020 at $19.20 prices on their opening day. So that's 15 cents a ticket. During the opening day promotion, they're going to show catalog films including Ghostbusters, Black Panther, Back to the Future, and Grease. So nothing says social distancing like 15 cent tickets in an open bar. Is it just me, or is this a terrible idea? Swipe left or swipe right? Mace, I'll start with you.
I'm going to swipe right. Look, I'm rooting for the movie theater business. I have a hard time believing somebody is going to shell out even 15 cents to go see, I don't know, Back to the Future 3 that came out 25 years ago. I want movie theaters to be successful. I think it is too early in this process to be able to do it. Maybe some parts of the country where COVID is lighter, maybe it's okay, but certainly not in Los Angeles. I don't think movie theaters are opening in LA on that day.
No, they're not. I think the whole state of California, they're still going to be closed.
Yeah, so I don't think we're ready for movies yet. I'm going to swipe right. Ireland?
I would swipe left. I think that... I flew this weekend. I flew Thursday. I flew out to Idaho. Last night I flew back. Everybody in the plane wore a mask. They did not sell the middle seats, but we're going to have to figure out a way to get back to living. And as long as the movie theaters are socially distant, in other words, as long as they're not selling every seat, and as long as everybody is wearing a mask, I'm like you, Mace. I'm rooting for them to get their businesses back. I for 15 cents, sure, why not? I'd probably go and support them.
You would go see Grease for 15 cents and risk your health.
Well, I flew last night for... Yeah,
but this is for Grease.
Right. But
You've
well, I
seen
mean, I
this movie 100 times.
I didn't need to go to Idaho. I mean, I did it because I wanted to. I know, I did it for fun. I mean, there's... I'll tell you another thing. I was listening to a podcast. I'm trying to remember so I can give credit for it, but somebody made a great point. Why can't we socially distance people at Dodger Stadium? Why can't we let a certain amount of people in there? I saw an NFL announcement today that the Arrowhead Stadium for the opening night of the NFL is going to be 22% full.
Yeah.
It'll look weird, but people will be wearing masks and they'll be socially distant. I'm for it. I think that we should try and find a way to get some of these businesses back.
Well, I've said it before. I'll say it again. There's a new release date for Christopher Nolan movie Tenet, which is now September the 3rd. And I will go to see that movie in a theater when I am able to, but only because... I'm not going to see Back to the Future 3 or Grease or Goonies or one of those. I'm going to see an actual new movie, a big spectacular one. So I'm willing to take the risk. If something is great, like for example, Jen, you said, if Arrowhead is allowing 22%, do the Rams at SoFi Stadium allow 20% of their stadium? Because then I'm in, because it's a high leverage event. I'm just not going to shell out 15 cents to go see a movie, a warmed over movie from 30 years ago. Jorge, what about you?
No, you had me at Back to the Future, but I'm not paying 15 cents to risk it all for a movie. I have it at home. I can drink all you can drink at home, all you can eat at home. I'll watch it from the house, man.
There you go.
No way, Jose.
All right, so he split the difference on that one. All right, so next story here. Cops have thwarted an apparent kidnapping attempt at the home of WWE superstar Sonya Deville, claiming the suspect was an obsessed fan who's armed with a knife, zip ties, and duct tape. Sheriffs in Lutz, Florida, arrested a 24-year-old Philip Thomas on Sunday, saying that he had been planning this move for 8 months. Thankfully, the guy was caught before any harm was done, but it made me wonder, have you guys ever had any strange or creepy encounters with fans or listeners? Swipe left or swipe right?
Mason, I don't even know if you want to tell this story.
Please, the stalker story?
I'm staying quiet on this one.
Okay, do you want me to tell it? I'll tell it.
Yeah, you tell it.
So years and years ago, there was a woman that worked with us in some way. I can't remember what she did.
Like a promotions assistant.
Yeah. And Mason for people who don't know, Mason is a huge baseball fan. And in particular, he's been to more baseball games than all of us put together. And he's never seen a no-hitter.
Ever.
So
ever.
One night we had a big block of tickets to go to a Dodger game. I can't remember if we were taking listeners or if we just had a bunch of friends.
No, we took a bunch of listeners, yeah.
Okay. So Mason calls me the morning and he goes, hey, that woman's going to be there. I'm not going. I go, you have to go. It's our show. We're taking listeners. He goes, I'm not going. You got to do it by yourself. I go, okay, man. I don't want you to go and be uncomfortable. And sure enough, he was right. This woman went. It would have been weird had Mason been there. She would have saddled right up to him and made him uncomfortable the whole night. And Ramon Martinez of the Dodgers threw a no-hitter. So when Lindsay, you first started reading that story, I went, oh, God, Mason's going to – it's all going to come back to him. He's not going to believe he missed that no-hitter.
I had a really creepy stalker when I was working in New York where I would go out at night and somehow got my number. would go out to, I don't know, a show or a bar or whatever, and I'd get a message afterwards saying, I saw you at such and such show. And I'm like, oh, my God, you are creeping me out to an unbelievable. That was station security, front desk on alert. This guy knew where I was going all the time. And it was a guy, by the way. Very, very creepy.
Did you ever meet him in person?
Never did. Never did. Jorge, did you ever have a stalker?
Man, it was a Christmas. We were giving away tickets or something it was at this one station. A guy came in dressed as Santa Claus. And then he's like, hey, can you record this for me? And then I did a recording for him on a video. He's like, can you send me the video on your phone? So I'm like, I can airdrop it, man, but I'm not giving you my number. He's like, you're my favorite guy on the show. This, and this. And I was like, nah, man, let's just leave it at the airdrop. You get your video. You got your tickets. Merry Christmas. Have a good day.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Most people are not crazy. That's the beauty of it. Most people are not crazy.
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of anchor women when I was in TV news that have had this issue, and they had to have security walk them out to the car, and you know, it's that when you first started reading that story, I felt bad for, I don't know who that person is who you were describing, because I'm not a big wrestling person, but I felt bad for her just describing it, because I've seen it happen to other people that I know. And I won't even mention who we know who it happened to, but it's happened to people we've worked with before, and it is a very uncomfortable thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you for bringing up something so uncomfortable, Lindsay.
Sorry, sometimes you got to answer the hard questions, you know?
The hard questions, exactly right. All right, coming up next for you, the biggest story of the day is that the NBA playoffs for the Lakers start tomorrow night versus Portland. Dame Lillard versus AD and LeBron. We'll break down that game a little bit coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.